There are needs of the soul that nothing can satisfy but Jesus Christ. And we have sung about that in this song we just sang. You are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You don't have to be in an assembly like this to worship Jesus Christ. But the benefit is that you share that longing and the satisfaction of it with others who have that desire. By doing so, you encourage them, and hopefully you're encouraged as well by other people's faith. It also provides an opportunity to study what the Holy Spirit has given us to guide our lives. And for the next few minutes, that's what we're going to be doing, and I invite you to take your Bibles and follow along with me as we study together something that the Holy Spirit deemed important enough to devote part of the Word of God to. So if you will, take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 7. And we're going to look particularly at verses 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 beginning. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting as busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So here is an exhortation, verse 8, having to do with working. He makes the statement in verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. The New King James Version translates free of charge. We did not eat anyone's bread free of charge. Another version translates as a gift, and that's a legitimate way to translate it. The word here is often translated gift in the New Testament. We did not eat anyone's bread as a gift. Here, you didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, just give it to you. Some people live their lives depending on handouts. They're happy to live their lives and eat their bread, sustain themselves with the gifts of others. Paul chose, although he could have asked for support, he chose to support himself, and he supported himself and those who were with him, but not as a gift at all, but by working for it. Well, so what? That's Paul's choice, if that's what he wants to do. But look at verse 9. Not because we do not have a right to this. And Paul argued his right to be supported in the Corinthian letter, chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9. But, he said, not because we have a right, but in order to offer ourselves as a what? Model for you, so that you would follow our example. So Paul's choosing to work to earn what he ate. He did that for a particular reason in Thessalonica. I don't know if, like in Corinth, he chose not to receive their support for a different reason, here he chose not to receive their support for this reason. I don't know if it's because of this prevalent attitude that prevailed there that he wanted to try to correct, but the way he approached it was, I'm going to show you the right way to live. And so we didn't eat anyone's bread free of charge as a gift. Instead, we worked for it. And I intended that to be. That was his purpose. A model and an example for you. Now, when we talk about the word work, that's a word with broad ideas. And sometimes people might say, I'm willing to work if I like it. Why don't you get a job? It's hard. Some people won't stay at a job because it's difficult, because the hours are long, because working with people may involve difficulty, the kind of boss that you may have or the co-workers that you may have. And so if it's pleasant, if I can find something I like, I'll do it. That is not what the word here encompasses. And Paul let us know that. If you'll look at verse 9, he said, or verse 8, excuse me. If you look at verse 8, he said, with labor. Let's write that here. Labor and hardship. That's Paul's words. So when he talked about work, it encompassed things that involved labor and hardship. Paul would not smile upon somebody who said, well, the job was tough, the hours were long, and so I'm just going to depend on others to provide for me, or I'm going to just depend on the government to support me. Paul would have no sympathy for that. And so even if it involves effort, I don't know how hard it was to make tents. Add to that that he's making tents while he's trying to teach and preach. But he talks about labor and hardship. He talks about working night and day. But he said, I wanted to set an example for you that we ought to have, my words, a work ethic. We ought to be people who understand the responsibility to work to support ourselves. Now, besides the people who are bums, I see people when I drive, for example, to HEB. There are people that sit on the corner. Sometimes a man with his family, young man, looks robust, sit there with his family, his kids in the hot sun, begging. When there's jobs all over Humble, there's help wanted signs. People can get on the web and apply for work. They're just living off of others. Sometimes there's an old man that's sitting on the pavement. Got his dog. Got to feed a dog, you know. Just waiting on somebody to give him some money. I guess he does pretty well. He's there often. I'm going to tell you what, folks. I don't know what he believes religiously. But I know this. God's not pleased with that kind of conduct. If a man can't work, that's one thing. But just to try to live off others, to eat bread at other people's expense, because you're too lazy or because you've got other things you want to do or whatever it may be, is just not what God intended. You know, besides those who are professional bums, unfortunately, we've got young people that grow up with that mindset. There are families sometimes, not at their wishes, but they have children that grow up and never learn the work ethic. And those kids continue when they're in their 20s and when they're in their 30s, maybe in their 40s, living off of mom and dad. I knew a family years ago. They used to be members here. It's a long time ago. Maybe hardly few of you know them. Certainly don't know the circumstances. I do. That the boys, big, healthy, robust boys,
use mom's credit card to buy their things. Let me tell you what, folks, that's not God's plan. You can get out and work. And parents, you're not doing your children a favor if you don't teach them to work. So I don't want them to have the hard life that I had. I don't want them to have that difficult. Why not? What's wrong with some labor and some hardship? What's wrong with that? Now, parents may try and have difficulty with that. I don't know. I know there are good and godly parents who try to teach their children to support themselves. And they have to reach a crossroads where they, what are they going to do? Are they going to just cast them out? That's their decision. Maybe that's what they ought to do. Down here in this verse, a little bit further in verse 10, he said, if anyone's not willing to work, then he's not to eat either. I'll tell you what, maybe if they get hungry enough, they'll go do something. But that's God's plan. That's not me. That's not Church of Christ doctrine. There it is. So, you can take your children when they're young. You can do everything for them. You can try to shield them against hard labor and train them to be bums. Or you can teach them to work. To take care of themselves. Pick up after themselves. Help mom and dad at home. Say, what am I going to get paid? If you're lucky, you get to put your feet under the table and eat. Work and eat bread, but don't always expect to give. Then there's the scammers. There's people that work harder at stealing from other people instead of going out and work to earn their own bread. I guess nearly anyone in this audience that uses email is familiar with what's called phishing email. There are people who spend, I guess, hours sending out emails to people, trying to get them to bite so they can get their information and they can steal their money or get them to send money. It must be successful. They continue doing it. That's not the work ethic. That's living off of others. And then there are those who find that they can engage in fraudulent financial schemes and get people's money. How many people have lost their savings or lost their money because of some fraudulent scheme? Instead of working, they work to get other people's money fraudulently. There are those who sell products that are of no value. It's all right to sell products, but not to sell products of no value to get other people's money. Work is God's plan. Then there are those who say, know that they can survive evidently. I don't know a whole lot about this field, a little bit. But there are those who can survive selling drugs instead of working. And they play on people's weaknesses. They're addicted to them. They know they are. And so they sell them the drugs and thereby avoid having to work. God's plan is not simply to make money, but to earn what you make, to work for it. Don't eat anyone's bread for nothing, as a gift, for naught, as the King James Version says. But work, if it entails labor and hardship, then so be it. This is God's plan for the work ethic. Now then, look at verse 11. Very interesting the way this is translated in the New American Standard Version. So we're here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This time we're going to look at verse 11. There's a word here that I want to call to your attention that we want to look at for just a moment. Undisciplined. That's the New American Standard Version. Your version may translate it different. It may translate it disorderly. That word occurs in this text about three times, or it's a word very similar to it. For example, back up in verse 6, the word unruly, an unruly life, is that word or its neighbor.
And then you have in verse 7, you have it again, undisciplined, or yours may have disorderly. Now, the reason I want you to note this in verse 11 is, if I understand the text in this particular text, he defines what he's talking about. So we're going to put an equal mark. What is an undisciplined life? You say, well, that's lack of discipline. And our world suffers for a lack of discipline. People don't get up to go to work and lose their jobs. They are not diligent on the job and lose their jobs. They don't have the discipline to prepare themselves to do any kind of work and therefore dependent upon others. But here's the word, undisciplined. And look at the text. Doing no work at all, but acting as busybodies. So no work and meddling in other people's affairs, spending your time in other people's affairs, is what here in verse 11 he's talking about, undisciplined. I found it interesting when I went to study this particular word, what it meant in their language. It was used sometimes of soldiers who break ranks. So here's a group of soldiers. They're going to march, and they've got to march in these ranks in order. But if a guy is too lazy to pay attention, the sun's hot, he's a little tired, maybe he just doesn't like it, he breaks rank. He's undisciplined. That's this word. Then again, it was used of, for example, a man who signed a contract that if his boy was truant, T-R-U-A-N-T, truant. We know what truant is. Somebody skipped school. If his boy was truant and did not take care of his job, the father would be responsible. What is that word? That's our word we're talking about. And there's people that miss work for the slightest reasons. They got a little headache, or they got this, or they got that. Pretty soon they lose their job, they lose their chance to advance and make money and support their family. Oh, wait a minute, I need help. Why you need help? Because I was too lazy, too undisciplined to take care of my job. And Paul says those who are Christians shouldn't live an undisciplined life. Back up in verse 6, where he talks about an undisciplined or unruly life, he said it's not according to the tradition which you receive from us. That's verse 6. You have the little word and there. It's explanatory. An unruly life, namely, you don't follow our tradition. You take those two verses now, verse 6 and verse 11. He's exhorting them to work. You see that here. He said in verse 12, such persons we command and exhort. Command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their, look at this, whose bread? Their own bread. The bread they worked for. The bread they earned. Not to make it a gift like we read about back in verse 7 and 8. Just depending on others. And so, that's what undisciplined means. Fail to do that. And tied to that is also the fact that I've commanded it, and if you don't listen to my command, then you're undisciplined. You're walking disorderly. We talk about an undisciplined or disorderly Christian, we may think of immorality, or we may think of murder, or we may think of stealing. But here it has to do with people who simply do not have the work ethic to take care of themselves. In this chapter, 2 Thessalonians 3, when I read this, you say, how important is this?
okay, he wrote this, and people should do this. But look what he said here, back up in verse 6. If you were asked, where in the Bible does it teach to withdraw from people? We use the term withdraw because that's the King James translation, and nothing wrong with it. This version in verse 6 uses the term keep away. Keep away from. Where is the Bible does it teach us to keep away from people who are disobedient to God? Right here. What kind of people? These kind of people right here who won't work. That's how important it is. Now look down a little bit further in verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, so now we're down at verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, what instruction? Look back at verse 12. We command and exhort that you work and eat your own bread. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And so it's right and proper for brethren to talk to brethren who don't have this work ethic about this responsibility. And if it's bad enough that they don't work and get to bumming off everybody else and having time to meddle in other people's matters and they're impenitent, it comes time to withdraw from that person. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This time we're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business. And work with your hands just as we, here we have it again, both the first and second letter. I command you to do this. Work with your own hands. Now, is this talking about manual labor? Maybe. That was the situation in Thessalonica, that people who had to work with their hands were undisciplined, and they're the ones that needed the exhortation. I don't know. Maybe the exhortation addressed to people like that because those who had businesses, profitable businesses, and all that responsibility, you didn't have to tell them to work. They knew to get up. They got themselves up. They took care of their businesses. I don't know why it's focused on that, but that's what he says here. The point is, whether you own a business or whether you work with your own hands, God's plan is that you eat your own bread. So he said, we commanded you. Now note verse 12. So that you'll behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Now there are people that don't have to work to avoid that. We've got some in our audience. And it's perfectly right. We've got Wally, Rocky, several others here, who because they worked all those years, are living off their pension, what they've earned with that company, as well as their Social Security that they paid in. So it's not that they're bums. They were workers, and they're reaping the fruits of that now. But they're not depending on others. It's not a shameful thing. Note verse 12, that's what he's talking about. So that you behave properly toward outsiders and shall not be in any need. I used to study here at the building, in this office. One of the reasons, there are several, one of the reasons I decided to move my office home. Hear a knock on the door. I'm out of gas. I need some food. Of course, oftentimes these people have been to the church down the road, and the church down the road, and the church down the road. That's their life. I've been through this all my preaching life. I know what people do. Their pattern is, instead of going to get a job, is go see if I can get a gift. That is not God's plan. God's plan is for people to work and not be always depending. Now, we may reach a point we have to have a gift. Our health, severe issues come up that we did not anticipate. And there's room for benevolence. You read about it in Acts 6. You read about it in Acts 11. You read about it in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, where brethren did give. It was a gift to brethren in need. That's a different circumstance. Like in Acts 11, it was due to a famine. I'm not sure what the reason for the need was. That's talked about in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But it was a legitimate need. And there was a time and place to help people in need. But that in no way circumvents what God's plan is for people to work. Our next passage is in Colossians chapter 3. So if you'll open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 22 through 25. Colossians chapter 3. So Wednesday evening, Neil talked about the springing off of Labor Day. Use these passages in Thessalonians to talk about our responsibility to work. And then a few months ago, Keith, on a Wednesday night close, talked about work ethic and used some verses from Ephesians and Colossians. So I'm going to use these from Colossians, starting in chapter 3, verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but, and note the not but, should you try to please your employer? Yes. But you have a higher purpose. What is it? But with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Not fearing you're going to get fired. Not fearing you're going to get a write-up, put in your documents at work, but because you fear the Lord and you want to please the Lord. That would make no sense if the Lord didn't expect us to have a work ethic. And so fearing the Lord, he said, whatever you do, do your work heartily. Do it diligently, from the heart, with all your soul, as for the Lord, rather than for man. Because you know the Lord expects us to have a work ethic, knowing, verse 24, that from the Lord you'll receive the reward. You say, it won't get me any more money. I won't get any more pay. So what? What you want is to please the Lord. And to please the Lord, you need to be not simply employed. You need to be a good worker. Is that not correct about these verses? A diligent worker. Somebody who can be trusted. The boss doesn't have to be there all the time telling you what to do. You work heartily because you're trying to please Christ. And it's verse 24, end of the verse. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. But people mistreat me. Well, that may be. Look at 25. He who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he's done, and that without partiality. That master, that employer, that boss, he'll answer if he mistreats you. That does not exempt me from trying as best I can to be a good worker. So we see from all these verses that God expects men to work. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. I wasn't sure where to fit this in the flow of my study, but I wanted to get this plug in. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. In our passage in 2 Thessalonians 3, He said, I worked for my own bread, but not because I don't have a right for you to provide for me. That is wages for his labor. We know that Paul argued the right of support for gospel preachers. But in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship. There's our term again, labor and hardship. How working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. When Brother Iyanderi was here, I think he's an honorable man. And one of the reasons I esteem him so highly is he's very cautious about men who want to preach for money. They have Bible classes to try to train men. And they tried it where the men would come, and I don't know if... Did they give them some remuneration for a while? I think they did. And so you train these men. But the Iyanderi got concerned about that, that they weren't there because of the Bible training, but because the money. So they changed it. Now, if you want to participate in these Bible studies, you work, I think it's 4 days a week, and then they have these Bible classes on Friday and Saturday and I guess Sunday. In other words, you support yourself. So if you're interested in the Bible classes, this is going to be because you're interested in the Bible classes, not because you're interested in the money. And Paul said, we were proclaiming the gospel. We could have been supported. In this particular case, in the Corinthian situation, he refused support. Because while he could have been supported, his focus was preaching the gospel. Any man that preaches for support, he don't like to do secular work. He's not trained himself to do work. He's too lazy and undisciplined to get up and go work. There's men here that get up early in the morning, work all day long. Guy says, hey, I can preach. I get up when I get ready. I'll tell you what, that guy's not worth one dime of support. There's the work ethic. And preaching is not an escape from the work ethic. And unfortunately, there are preachers that don't have the self-discipline to be preachers, because there's nobody going to be standing over you and saying, you get the work done, you get the study done, you do the preparation that you need to do. Finally, I want to turn with you to our last passage, Genesis chapter 2. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. We've been reading from the New Testament. Here is where God created man. You know, when we get to chapter 3, man had sinned. You read down in verse 17 of chapter 3, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. I said, see, working is a curse of God for man's sin. No, it isn't. The difficulties that arose was involved in the curse. Thorns and thistles, those kind of things. But look back in chapter 2, before sin ever entered the picture. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Could you sum that phrase up with one word? To work. Folks, let me tell you something. Man was made to work. God wasn't ashamed to say, I love you. I've given you these capacities. Here, go take care of that garden. To cultivate it and to keep it. So don't let anybody confuse you with chapter 3 and say, well, work is part of the fall. No, it isn't. It's not part of the fall. I don't know what we're going to be doing in heaven. I know we'll be praising God. Maybe there'll be some work for us to do there. I don't know. So don't ask me where the verses are, because I can't turn to them. But I know this. It wouldn't necessarily be a negative, because that's the way we're designed to work.